It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I got an awesome shot radio.
Panic in the voices of their own. Six Philadelphia police officers shot while serving a warrant. After a nearly 8-hour standoff, the suspected gunman, 36-year-old Maurice Hill, surrenders to police.
It is nothing short of astounding that in such a confined space that we didn't have more of a tragedy than we did.
Police say officers were serving a narcotics warrant on the 3700 block of North 15th Street in the Nicetown Tioga section when the gunman opened fire. One officer was grazed in the head. Remarkably, all six officers not only survived, they were treated and released hours later. Another officer injured in a crash while responding to the scene remains hospitalized. As the chaos unfolded, two other police officers and three civilians were trapped inside the home as the shooter fired at police.
SWAT was able to successfully extract the two police officers that were trapped upstairs as well as three prisoners. And they were all taken out safely thus far.
Neighbors watched in fear.
When they started dumping with the firepower and stuff like that, they did it right in front of the daycare. The babies was out and everything.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney called for changes on gun control laws.
But our officers need help. They need help. They need help with gun control. They need help with keeping these weapons out of these people's hands.
And you can see investigators down the street here. This is actually Erie Ave, not too far from Broad Street, from the scene where this all happened. 30 officers, we learned, ditched their weapons during the shootout. That officer that was injured in the car crash on the way to the scene remains hospitalized. Reporting live in the Nicetown Tioga section of North Philadelphia, Shante Lands, CBS 3 Eyewitness News.
All right, I thought that's a great report on what happened last night. I'm sure if you watched television at all, you saw it. It was on hour after hour. It was an 8-hour standoff. And of course, think about all the policemen who could have been killed. It really is pretty shocking. You know, some of them were held in the house, could not get out, I think two of them. And the shooter was shooting through the floor into the ceiling because he knew they were up there. It could have been slaughter. It could have been a police slaughter, but it wasn't. I think by God's grace, it wasn't. And so we can see that this continues, violence continues to be a problem. You know, they're calling, of course, the Democrats immediately, even while the standoff was going on, they were on CNN talking about gun control. Now, here's the thing. This shooter in this particular case is a hardened criminal. He's got a long criminal record and lots of gun-related convictions. Do you think he actually went through a background check and got his guns legally? Really? So I'm just telling you, I'm just saying, put some perspective on this. So many of the fixes that people are proposing are not going to fix the kind of violence that we're seeing. In fact, people who are trying, who need to protect themselves will be the ones who will not be able to defend themselves if some of these gun proposals go through. But we'll come back to that on another day. There's so much news that I actually don't want to talk about that right now. I do want to talk about China because we talked about Hong Kong a lot yesterday. And let me skip ahead. Rob, let's listen to clip one. This is Kevin Cork reporting on the update on China and Hong Kong.
Deeply concerned. That's how the U.S. State Department is describing its position regarding the ongoing unrest in Hong Kong. With Chinese forces amassing near Hong Kong's border, there are increasing concerns there and in Washington that history will repeat itself. When a previous Chinese uprising, the one at Tiananmen Square in 1989, was squelched violently by the Chinese government. Then, as now, suspicions in Beijing, with suggestions that Washington is the, quote, black hand behind the city's violence. The State Department said today that Hong Kongers had, quote, broad and legitimate concerns about China's overreach, adding bluntly, we categorically reject the false charge of foreign forces as the black hand behind the protests. The unrest offers a clear example of the complicated order that has seen the two powers grow ever closer economically and yet on many fronts remain worlds apart. Even as President Trump, who has long hailed his close relationship with Chinese President Xi Jinping, tries to walk a political and diplomatic tightrope with trade, deconfliction in the South China Sea, and negotiations with North Korea all hanging in the balance. But on Capitol Hill, there was little nuance, with leaders from both parties placing blame for the chaos squarely on Beijing. If America does not speak out for human rights in China because of commercial interests, said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in a statement, we lose all moral authority to speak out elsewhere. Added Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Hong Kongers, quote, know the truth about exactly who is responsible for inciting chaos. The rest of the world knows too. Regardless of when or how the situation is resolved, there could be long-term consequences for U.S.-China relations. Still, with rare but broad bipartisan support to sharply criticize Beijing's approach, there appears to be little appetite to de-escalate the rhetoric. This as the world watches, waits, and in many corners, worries.
Yes, and so now we have news this morning. That was Kevin Cork of Fox News. Now we have news this morning that China is now threatening, and a serious threat, to start tanking our economy as best they can. Our tariffs, our next set of tariffs, we found out just like a couple of hours ago, are going to go into effect September 1st. If you didn't listen to the show yesterday, could I recommend that you might want to listen to it or at least go on our Facebook page and read the article that I shared with you about the propaganda that's being fed to the Chinese mainland, painting these protesters as walking right up to the label of terrorist, skewing the information as we see happening here through our press and our social media control through Google and the rest of them, making them think that the protesters are at fault, that they are more violent than they are, misrepresenting particular things that are happening. And the Chinese are trying to stop this revolt, and the revolt was caused by them because they started encroaching on the freedoms that people in Hong Kong enjoy and trying to pull them back of the Chinese mainland's vice grip on its people. And it's just a clash, really, of the outcry of human beings for freedom versus a totalitarian state. We've watched it time and time again through the centuries. So this morning, we're finding out that, of course, the stock market took a nosedive yesterday. Stuart Varney on Fox is predicting it's going to take another nosedive today. He pointed out on Fox this morning that the nation's, the world's economies are contracting. China's is contracting. China is in a kind of a panic mode, I think, because they've really been hurt by the moves that this administration has taken. Of course, they've been for the last 20, more than that, starting with the Clinton administration, maybe the first Bush administration, receiving much more help and care, taking our technology, lots of times being handed it, stealing it. Their GNP has grown because of the United States being so generous to them. And it's been an unfair playing field. They've stolen, they have built their military and used it now to threaten people in their geographic area, including Japan. And so it's getting very, very serious. And of course, they're exercising their muscle on the people of China who were enjoying some measure of freedom prior to this. And so we have to watch. This is going to affect the entire world. Germany's economy is contracting. So is England's. And the United States is the only country that has a growing economy. So money's flowing into here. And Stuart Varney goes on to talk about the fact, and you've heard this reflected in the administration, and also Peter Navarro has talked about this a lot, that the feds have really undermined what's happening here by not lowering the interest rate. I'm not an economist, so I can't further elaborate on that. But that's kind of an update, an overview of what's happening with the economy. We're likely to see the stock market go down again today. I think the futures already went down early this morning. So just fasten your seatbelt because we're probably in for some rocky times. I want to this Epstein case just continues to be baffling. And I have to just mention to you some things that have come out since, you know, yesterday when we talked. First of all, the autopsy, now they're not making a final judgment on this. But it is now, they're now reporting that they see several broken bones in his neck, including one particular bone that can be connected with strangulation murders. It doesn't all, it's not always connected, but it's in a very pretty large percentage of time when this bone is broken, it has been strangulation. It can be hanging, self-hanging, suicide. So, you know, it's another wrinkle, but still not conclusive. Now, here's some other things. Can you believe this? The judge overseeing, remember there's one particular victim of Epstein that was suing. She was the 14-year-old girl. You've probably seen her talk a number of times. And she was suing Epstein for the abuse. She was also suing his right-hand woman, as it were, Ghislaine Maxwell, who allegedly was involved sexually with these girls too, was recruiting them for Jeffrey Epstein. It's such a sordid story. But here's the thing. The judge who was presiding over that case died Sunday. And he was a very old man. But here's the wrinkle on this. It's U.S. District Court Judge Robert Sweet. He had been, let me put it simply, he had been obstructing the release of lots of information that was going to be brought up as evidence against I think her name is Ghislaine. I hope that's the pronunciation, Ghislaine Maxwell. And so now, since he is dead, and another panel of judges felt like too much of the information was under secrecy, and it was excessive and unjustified. So we may be hearing about more information coming out from this. I think it's probably likely we will. And a couple of more things about that. According to a report from Ala Pundit, the entire island, that weird island with that weird temple on it that Jeffrey Epstein owned, the one that's called Pedophile Island, that's the nickname for it, who had that temple with the golden dome, we are hearing reports that with his helper, that Epstein was recording everything and everybody everywhere. And so there are extensive videotapes, pictures, everything of people who came to the island and the things that they did. I mean, it's just amazing. And now this is one thing that's coming out this morning, which may just be the beginning of this. Jeffrey Epstein allegedly had a portrait of former President Bill Clinton posing provocatively in a blue dress and red heels. The Daily Mail reported Wednesday that a portrait of the former president dressed similarly to his former mistress, Monica Lewinsky, hung in Epstein's Manhattan mansion. I actually have a picture of the portrait in my hands right now. It was absolutely, according to a source that talked to Daily Mail, it was absolutely Bill Clinton. It was shocking. It was definitely a painting of him. It was a very provocative sexual picture. I want to repeat that. A portrait of former President Bill Clinton posing provocatively in a blue dress and red heels in Jeffrey Epstein's mansion. Can you imagine if that was in his mansion, what is available on that island? Of course, the FBI didn't go in very quickly, and they had days, somebody might have had time to remove a lot of the information, but we just don't know. It's just amazing. And then one last very important story. James O'Keefe just broke a story. Google is after us again. By us, I mean conservative. A whistleblower named Zachary Voorhees has given James O'Keefe a document that's a Google Now blacklist. And guess who's on the blacklist? Newsbusters, MRC TV, Twitchy, Conservative Tribune, Front Page Bag, Red State, Christian Post, Daily Caller, Catholic News Agency, Glenn Beck, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, Stephen Crowder, the Duggar family, Megyn Kelly, Rush Limbaugh, and Michelle Machen. That means that they're being blocked. Now, that's not the total list. I'm just giving you the ones. There are pages and pages. I don't even know. AFA could be on the list for all I know. But those are the ones that we know. This is what Google's doing, by the way. We're going to do an entire show tomorrow on what social media is doing. So I hope you'll stay tuned. Well, all right. I hope you'll stay tuned right now. We're going to open the phone lines and talk about Facebook and email. Sandy Rios in the morning.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week.
And I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself. That day at school, a girl that I didn't know came rushing over to my locker and she handed me a Truth for Youth Bible and she said, "Hey, Jesus loves you. You should read this."
American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering to give God's Word to our nation's youth. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to pass on to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. One free Bible will be given to each young person who promises to pass it on to a friend.
And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Call 800-733-4737 or visit truthforyouth.com.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
As the Wesley Revivals began to make a difference in England, one man in Parliament heard God's call to pick up Wesley's plea to end the evil of slavery. William Wilberforce was that man. At first, he was the lone voice in Parliament calling for its end. Within 30 to 40 years of his first bill presented to end it, slavery was outlawed completely in England. It took two men over two generations to stand in the gap to end that evil. For the past 46 years, God has been calling for His people to stand in the gap to end the taking of innocent life in the womb through abortion. Progress is being made, but won't you stand in the gap to help end this killing of babies?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A graphic design flaw in Texas. More next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
A high-profile graphic design conference disinvited one of their keynote speakers because he's a Christian. David Rourke is the communications director at the Village Church, a Southern Baptist congregation in Texas. Mr. Rourke had been invited to speak at the Circles Conference, but the Dallas chapter of the American Institute of Graphic Arts complained. They accused the Village Church of discriminating against gay people, opposing same-sex marriage. The organizers of Circles Conference said they had to remove Mr. Rourke so they could create a safe space for other designers. Let's be clear. David Rourke is a fine communications director, and the only reason he was cast out was because of his mainstream Christian views on sexuality. Bakers, florists, wedding planners, now graphic designers, don't be surprised if one day you have to pledge allegiance to the rainbow flag to do business in America. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios with you this morning. Listen, we're going to open the phone lines, but I also have a lot of Facebook and email comments I want to respond to. So the phone number is 888-589-8840. If you want to go ahead and get on the line, you are certainly welcome to do that. But Let me start by thanking you very much for all of your feedback. It's getting to be so much that honestly, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And I would also encourage, I have seen, you know, on our Facebook page, many of you are going back and forth on issues. I think that's wonderful. I actually think that's a great way of kind of fleshing out your thoughts and sharing with each other differing opinions apart from, you know, when we air live, because we can't talk about all of it. And you guys are well-informed, and so you're well-equipped, really, to sort of debate those issues and help each other kind of come to the truth. And we, of course, have a lot of people on Facebook who are opponents of the viewpoints that I express every morning, and they are more than welcome as long as they keep it clean. And we are happy for opposition. I think if you cannot defend your position on issues, your position is not worth holding. We have to be able to give an answer. Not only for our belief in Jesus and the gospel, but also for the truth that comes out of the gospel, which is God's truth is all truth is God's truth. So our phone number is 888-589-8840. Also, I want to just say before I begin here that this is Truth for Youth Bible Week, where if you have a child or a grandchild, or if you are a teenager listening to me or a middle schooler, and you would like to participate, this is what happens. We have this great illustrated Bible. It's like a comic book, but it's still the Bible, and it's something that you can give to your friends at school. I don't need to tell kids listening to us that school is a very dark place right now, and you may have a friend that you have been interacting with that you're concerned about, and this is a way to just sort of open up a conversation. You may not feel it, you have all the words and all the explanations, but this is a great way, a great avenue. The word is powerful on its own, so you don't have to worry about your lack of eloquence or ability, but just your caring for another person in your school might change their lives. And so if you have a child, a grandchild, or a neighbor, or if you are that child and you would like a older child, obviously middle school or high school, and you would like to have one of these Bibles to share, call 1-800-733-4737. That's 1-800-733-4737, or you can go to truthforyouth.com. I think that's the address. But right now, the phones are not open until 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, so you have to wait 30 more minutes to make that call, sorry to say. But if you go online, you can order them in that fashion. All right, let me just start with a few Facebook comments this morning, if I could. This is from, I'm not sure the pronunciation, it's Eloy. Sandy, Beto O'Rourke is a liar. That mosque in Victoria, Texas, did not burn to the ground because of the president. The mosque was set on fire by a local resident, an American of Mexican descent. He burned it to cover the break-in. Not only that, he has mental issues. So I appreciate that clarification, because Beto certainly is spinning a great tale down there. Someone said how convenient that the shooting should take place in his hometown. It sort of breathed life back into his campaign. Another person wrote in this morning, if I get to it, I'll read it to you, about, I think it was Linda, who said, I'm not so concerned about the policies of the Democratic candidates as I am their incredible lying. Can you imagine them being in charge of this country if they really were handed the keys? And they might be. That's how close we are. And you, actually, that's a very good point, Linda, because it's frightening to think that they might actually be in charge of everything. The people that we're seeing who truth doesn't, you know, they're not constrained by the truth. It is pretty frightening. Oh, and let me also say that Eloy wrote this about Beto. Eloy's last name is Luna. And, of course, Luna is a Hispanic name, which reminds me that several of you have asked me to clarify, which I will, that in Texas, especially in El Paso, not just in El Paso, but in Texas in general and Arizona and New Mexico, there are in California and other places, there are generations of Mexican Americans who are just as American. I think most of you know this, but since it was brought to my attention a few times by listeners, we want to say for sure that when we talk about what's happening at the border, we're talking about illegal immigrants. And by the way, they're not all Hispanic. I've told you before, we've got a problem with people coming in from the Middle East, from Africa. It's all people of every race who would enter that border illegally. That's what I have a problem with, and I think that's who the president has a problem with. I should skip ahead because someone, hang on 1 second. I'll have to wait till I get to that one, too. There's just so many pages here this morning, so forgive me, but I'm going to try to make this as clear as I can. I do understand the difference, and if I haven't made that clear, I apologize. Someone was asking me to be more clear about it and sort of saying that I am disparaging Hispanics, which I don't understand that. I think if you really listen to me, you must know that's not true. If you look at my last name, you must know that's not true. So anyway, it's funny how things get... words are dangerous, you know. We have to be very careful with our words. I subscribe to that. And you know the Bible says so clearly that if you can harness your tongue, you can harness anything in your life. You know that beautiful passage in James about the tongue being the rudder, like the rudder of a great ship, or like a fire, a little flame that sets a whole world afire. So we have to be careful about our tongues. So I'm certainly committed to that. This is from Jerry. Jerry says, why are you fixated on trying to ruin America by talking all this God nonsense? Any intelligent person knows several things about America. First, it was not founded on Christian values or beliefs. It was founded with absolute freedom of religion or its absence. Second, that freedom is enshrined in the Constitution. Another thing, any intelligent person knows that there is no such thing as a God of any kind, and anyone who thinks there is must be stupid. As Trump itself. Okay, Jerry, so where do I start? I guess I'm stupid. And I'm guessing that you either are a product of American public schools or you're young or you are the product of the misinformation of Howard Zinn in American history curriculum. Howard Zinn, by the way, I'm going to do an interview with an expose of Howard Zinn and his effect on this culture. It'll be airing next Friday. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. He sort of remade American history in his own image, and American leftist schools adopted his narrative. And so Jerry may be a product of that. I'm not sure. But Jerry, of course, the problem for you is that so many of our original documents still exist and the writings of the founding fathers, and they contradict what you're saying. They did believe in God, the nonsense that you call it. And it was founded, America, on Christian values and beliefs. It's just that just because you don't know about it doesn't make it not true. And have you been, Jerry, to Washington, D.C. and noticed all the scripture verses on the various seats of government? Have you seen the Ten Commandments on the marble in the Supreme Court? Have you noticed any of that? So I think you just are uninformed. And as far as God is concerned, just because you don't think he exists doesn't mean he doesn't. You don't have the power to think him out of existence. Many of us have experienced him in a powerful personal way. You just have to do more than insult me to get me to think differently about that. I'm sorry that you don't know him. And I'm hoping that before you leave this earth, Jerry, you'll get that sorted out. I don't feel insecure about that. I don't feel stupid. I think, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Consider this, you know, that he is the creator of all things. And our thoughts and views of the world are become wiser, sharper, clearer as we draw close to him. We understand the order of things. It just makes sense. You know, I would just say this to you, Jerry, my husband. I'll quote my husband, who was an FBI agent, as you know, if you listen to the show. And when I met him, he had some Christian upbringing, but really didn't know Jesus. And when he actually gave his heart to Christ, later he said to me, it's just that things are making sense now. Things are making sense. The world is making sense. And so I just hope that happens for you at some point, Jerry. All right, let me just, Christina says on Facebook, she says a word I can't repeat. It starts with a B. She said, Christianity is not white supremacy. The modern-day evangelical movement may have twisted it to suit their own agenda, that agenda being of the hard right, corporatist, oligarchic, empire-supporting. You support Trump because he is useful and will fulfill your goals, a theocratic state, restricted access to abortion, virulently anti-GLBTIQ, Frank Schaefer has called your bluff. Time is up. The evangelical experiment has not worked. Christina, you have a marginal understanding, again, just like Jerry did. So let me patiently kind of try to explain this to you. Christianity is not white supremacy. I don't even know why you would say that. Because anybody that understands Christianity knows that it's Jesus died for all men. He happened to be Jewish. But it's every creed and color. And if you travel around the globe, you see people's lives transformed by Christ who have, they're not white and they're not even black. They're brown and they're all kinds of colors. So, no, you're right. It has nothing to do with being white. The modern day evangelical movement may have twisted it to suit their own agenda. And then she says it's that of the hard right, corporatist, oligarch, empire supporting. Well, not exactly, except that, Christina, one thing that we do hold to is Romans 8. Romans 8 teaches us that God has he has placed governments and people and rulers in authority over the kingdoms of this earth in order to maintain order. And the basic message of Romans 8 is that we are to honor the order in which we find. We're not to, you know, remember Jesus said, maybe you don't know this, but it was time to pay taxes, and the disciples were wondering where they were going to get the money, and they found coins, and they asked Jesus, should we pay taxes to Rome? Really? We're going to have to pay taxes to Rome? And Jesus held the coin up with Caesar's image, and he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So in other words, as much as we can, Christians believe in honoring their authorities. That doesn't mean we can't criticize, but we do believe in that. So that's probably the broad swath of what you don't like. You support Trump because he is useful and will fulfill your goals. Well, in some ways, you're right about that, in the fact that he is pro-life, he is pro-family. He's fighting against a lot of things that Christians do embrace, but that's not the things you point out. A theocratic state. So honestly, Christina, Christians don't want to force people to serve Jesus. God himself didn't do that. You have a choice. So we don't want a theocratic state. Restricted access to abortion? No, not really. We just want no abortion. So that's clear, just so you understand. And then virulently anti-GLBTIQ. You know, if you mean personally against people who are gay or hating them, that's not true. I certainly count among my friends many people who certainly at this point used to be gay and lesbian, and I have great compassion for people in that lifestyle. I don't personally hate them, but I hate the lifestyle. I think it's wrong. I think it's a sin. So just to sort that out. So the evangelical experiment has not worked. Well, the evangelical experiment will never be over, Christina, and it will not. Maybe the label is confusing you, but Jesus will prevail, and he will. He will. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So it hasn't failed. Lori responds to Christina and says, if it's Trump, how do you explain Sandy Hook? If it's whites, how do you explain Virginia Beach and Fort Hood? If it's guns, how do you explain crime increasing in the gun-free UK? If it's the president's words, how do you explain half of the American population being called enemy by Obama, deplorable by Hillary, dregs of society by Biden, and racists by Democrats, Hollywood, and the media every single day? It's mental illness, it's godlessness, it's lack of morality, and it's time for our country's leaders to quit finger-pointing and come up with solutions and actions that help. I thought that was certainly profound, Lori. And then Stephen says, I'm a pastor, chaplain, and a big fan. He says that I misrepresented Nancy Pelosi with that wrap-up smear audio. And then he sends me the whole video where she says that this is what Republicans do. And so he asked me to retract it. I did not have it in context. I just had a clip that was sent to me, Stephen. So I appreciate that that heads up. But here's the thing, Stephen, as I've said many, many times before, the left always accuses the right of doing what it's doing. So even though Nancy might have been attributing that to Republicans, it's because she knows so well that's what the Democrats do. So that's the context I will give that. Okay, well, there's a lot more. So our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Scott Pressler, a conservative activist, organized 170 volunteers to pick up 12 tons of trash in West Baltimore. The local paper slammed him for it. The Baltimore Sun editorial board wrote, "Whatever he says his motives were, Mr. Pressler's presence in Baltimore reinforces the tired image of our failing urban cores, that the poor people in this dilapidated city can't take care of their own neighborhoods, and all the public officials around them have failed as well. We've reached a sad state when voluntary expressions of neighborly kindness are viewed through the suspicious lens of partisanship."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
In the spring of this year, around April, I was in eastern North Carolina and the southern part of Virginia, and I spoke in 6 public high schools in 1 week. And I saw a young person who had a Truth for Youth Bible.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Pastor Jim Scudder, Jr. for In Grace Radio. We're excited to announce that we're now on American Family Radio every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Time. You'll want to join us for In Grace because we're going to open up the Word of God, preach it, and teach it, and we're going to bring you some pretty interesting programming from the Grand Canyon to Under the Water in Key Largo, even the Ark in Northern Kentucky. Join us this Sunday at 8:30.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. CNN anchor Chris Cuomo was caught on video threatening to throw a Trump supporter down a flight of stairs in a tirade in which he used the F word 25 times in about 60 seconds. If we had red flag laws in place, Cuomo would never be allowed to own a gun for the rest of his life. But his network is sticking by him. He was verbally assaulted, says CNN, and he simply defended himself. Why has CNN never used this same rationale to defend the president? He never comes at anyone who has not attacked him first. Apparently, for CNN, the right of self-defense belongs to everybody but President Trump. Fredo, as Italians have been quick to point out, is not a swear word. It's just a name. But Chris Cuomo, like most regressive bullies in the talking snake media, can dish it out, but he can't take it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, President Trump addressed the Hong Kong thing in successive comments and tweets, calling it tough. He hoped nobody will get hurt and that it will work out for liberty. He also professed bemusement about why some are blaming him for what's happening. Clearly, the president thinks he's tiptoeing through a minefield, but he should be under no illusion. The Chinese Communist Party's propaganda outlets are already blaming him and America rather than China's own repressive conduct for Hong Kong's popular uprising. And if it seems increasingly likely, Beijing responds by cracking down violently, either with its own uniformed forces now massing for the purpose or through the violent actions of undercover operatives, Mr. Trump will be widely blamed if he declined to deter such repression by establishing beforehand that it will entail high costs for China. Mr. President, do that now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Yes, we're going to go to the phone lines in a second. Let me respond, if I can, quickly to just a few more email here. This is from Marie. She's been listening for a long time. She has great comments, and she is commenting on my conversation about Josh Harris leaving Christianity. You might remember I think we aired that last a week ago today. I think it's when we did that. I'm not sure, though. I get lose track. Just as a side issue, because I asked the question about Josh Harris is I believe, a 5-point Calvinist. And I asked my son, Jeremy, who was part of that conversation, what effect that doctrine might have had on him, how he felt about the fact that he was no longer a Christian. And Jeremy gave some answer, and my other guest was offended by what our inference about Calvinism. So Marie weighs in on this too. I am a Calvinist, so I resent your characterization of it. I am a Christian by the grace of God, and I love him so much. But Marie's point is not about that. She actually, it's a very nice email, so I want to make sure you don't think that. But this is what I want to say about that. I have a problem with certain levels of Calvinism. I do. I think that most Christians who understand Scripture are at some point on the scale Calvinists, because we cannot believe in not believe in God's sovereignty. The part that I have a big problem with is when I think the scales tip too far, and there is not enough allowance given for what I believe Scripture teaches as man's responsibility. I was just listening to Michael Youssef preach yesterday, and he was talking about hell and the Gehenna and all of these things, and talking about everlasting punishment and begging people, you know, to make the right choice. And I thought, well, this, you know, it reminded me of what I know. I think we have a choice. So that's the big riff. And one thing I see with a lot of Calvinists, because I laugh a lot about this, they don't have a sense of humor. I'm not saying you don't, Marie, but some just don't. I mean, they prickle. But I have to say, you know, on some level, I embrace Calvinism in terms of the sovereignty of God. Sure, I do. Someday we'll talk about that on a longer scale, but I have a problem with the full spectrum of it. I totally reject that, that man, it's all God and not man has nothing to do with it. I don't think that's true. And so that's too quick of a to address a complex issue, but I just wanted to say that I just wanted to make that clear as best I could in a short time. All right, Stephen is the one who said that that I'm putting all Hispanics in the same boat of our immigration problems. You speak of Mexican Central Americans daily, but you forget the fifth and sixth generation Texans of Mexican descent that have lived through years of standing up for our race. You're not speaking the truth if you're not doing more to stop a young generation that's trying to find their way and ends up killing innocent families at Walmart. I don't think I'm contributing to that, Stephen. I think maybe you're just not listening closely enough. I've already addressed it. I just wanted to give him credit for that question. This is from Vicky, who says, Christianity is not white. Jesus is Middle Eastern. He was a person of color. To hate, which I do, white supremacy is not to hate Christianity. It is hatred of bigots. And then she goes on to say, I'm white. But here's the deal, Vicky. If you didn't hear me say this, I want to repeat this. You're giving me an excuse to do it. White supremacy has nothing to do with color, by definition of the left. White supremacy means to them, just as Jerry, was it, who told me that this nation was not founded on Christian principles? It's that narrative. It's the Christian foundation of this country that the left rejects. And that's why Candace Owen, who's a black activist, can be called a white supremacist. Okay, so please understand definitions here. All right, that's enough. I'm going to go to the phones. It's not enough, really. I wish I had more time. But I want to go to, let's go to Deborah in Florida. Good morning, Deborah. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I have had the blessed opportunity to witness to people around the world, being from a Jewish grandfather, raised Catholic, was taught to read the Bible by the Catholic Church in the Washington, D.C. area, and then married to a Lutheran Church Missouri Senate pastor. So the opportunity in our daily walks in life, we meet fantastic people that the Lord has directed to us. Now, some of the people that I've been witnessed into 40 years, they become agnostic or they don't believe it. And then there was a simple phrase that was quoted by my husband's grandfather, who was Lutheran, about this situation, believed in Christ, and they don't. They said, if they don't believe in Christ or don't have a heart for that, it said, if you are right, I lose nothing. But if I am right, you lose everything.
Yes.
And that's all I say. I've said this time and time again.
Yes, that's actually, Deborah, that's a good reminder. And one other thing, you know, because of your Jewish heritage, when I talk to my Jewish friends, I try to make this point, but I don't think I've ever, maybe I haven't made it well enough. Many times the barrier to coming to faith for Jewish people is that they think of their families. What about my mother? What about my dad? What about my brother who's dead? I mean, I can't come to Christ. I'd be betraying them, and I just can't do that. And I yesterday when Michael Youssef was preaching, he was talking about Lazarus, the rich man, and the poor man, the beggar named Lazarus, and how they both died, and the rich man had accumulated a lot of wealth. It wasn't about him being rich. It was about him not honoring God in his lifetime. Lazarus was a poor beggar, but he loved God. So Lazarus went to heaven. The rich man did not. And the rich man then cries out to Abraham in wherever he was held at that time in torment, please send Lazarus to go tell my family, tell my brothers, tell them so that they will not come to this place of torment. That's not all of the story, but I think the point to me that stood out to me yesterday was this is the way, what I say to my Jewish friends. You think if hell is real and your parents never embraced Jesus or for whatever reason they were rebellious in this life, and they are on the other side, and they're in torment, you think they wouldn't want you? You think if this is true, that they would want you to follow their path out of loyalty to them? I don't think so. And so you bring up a very good point, Deborah. I really appreciate your call, and I appreciate you listening. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I want to go back to... this is an email, a Facebook post from Ramsey, and this seems to be the theme this morning. A sad reminder that Christianity was never a white. It was never. And I think Ramsey's not an English first English as the first language. So bear with me here. A reminder that Christianity was never a white exclusivity. Christianity is unfortunately disappearing from Europe. Churches are being converted to nightclubs and restaurants in most white nations. In miserable continents like South America or Africa, Christianity and devoutness is on the rise. So somehow it is despair that is driving the devoutness. I'm sharing this with you because I respect the fact that in the USA, your work as a Christian worker is maintaining some form of Christianity in what he says are the poorest uneducated states of the Bible Belt. And I thank you for allowing Christianity to maintain against all odds and existence. Alas, until when, as science and education seem to be destroying all heavenly beliefs all over the world, I ask with a feeling of dread, are we condemned in the future to lose our faith? Okay, so Ramsey, first of all, of course, you know, we don't, your description, maybe that's your perspective. I want to clarify that we are going into a lot of prosperous areas. So your characterization sounds like something that you've picked up somewhere. I don't think that's exactly true. But that's not the point. The point here is you're right about European churches just shriveling. England and in Europe in general, it really is sad. It's sickening, really, to see it happen. But you know, Ramsey, you should. I want to tell you that Christianity is not confined to buildings. Buildings are kind of something that certainly Christians have gotten into, the great cathedrals of Europe. And now in the United States, all the new buildings of evangelical churches, it's kind of been a centerpiece and maybe kind of not a good one, to be honest with you. I think it's likely that persecution is absolutely marching our way here in the United States, and it may be in our lifetime that we see churches boarded up because people flee by the thousands, unable to withstand the persecution in the culture and not willing to identify with Christianity. But trust me, the faithful, those that really believe, the remnant, as the Bible calls us, will be faithful to the end. The power and presence of God cannot be affected by man, just like the weather can't be affected by man. He will exalt his name among the nations. And as I said earlier to another person commenting, at some point we know that every knee and every tongue shall bow and recognize him as Lord. Jesus is Lord. He'll come descending on a horse with a sword, with his name, an unknown name, on his thigh. No, that's part of biblical prophecy. No, there's no worry. You don't have to worry about us. We're condemned to a future to lose our faith. No, Ramsey. That's a choice that you can make, and I hope that you'll make the right one. And I've certainly laid my marker down and just pray that God will give me the strength to finish well. I want to mention something else. When I talked to you about the demonstrations in Hong Kong, I did not realize, honestly, this is a story I did not know. But this came out, it was August 14th. Pastor Chu Yung Ming, who shared his testimony and offered a biblical defense for human rights in a Hong Kong courtroom earlier this month, will likely not serve his time for his role in pro-democracy demonstrations. Chu and eight other activists were found guilty of public nuisance, then sentenced Wednesday to 16 months in prison. While Chu's fellow Occupy Central founders Benny Tai and Chan King Meng will begin their prison terms immediately, the 75-year-old pastor had his punishment suspended. Now, here's the thing. That's not even what I wanted to lead with. Chu, along with scholars Benny Tai and Chan King Meng, launched Occupy Central with Love and Peace, a movement that led to the widespread umbrella movement protest the following year. Though the trio was committed to nonviolent civil disobedience, the Hong Kong judge found them guilty of conspiracy to commit public nuisance. In the process of the trial, Chung Yung Ming, who was the leader of Chai Wan Baptist Church, recounted his testimony of finding hope in Christ after a bleak childhood and defended his calling as a minister to fight for human rights, dignity, and care for all people. We have no regrets. We held no grudges, no anger, no grievances. We do not give up, he said, speaking on behalf of fellow activists involved in the campaign to bring universal voting rights to Hong Kong. In the words of Jesus, happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And then he goes on and gives his personal testimony of his faith in Christ. He did that at trial. I've got a picture of him. It just gives me chills. It sounds like the kind of men and women that I met in China, the bravery, the courage. And that explains why so many of those protesters in Hong Kong were singing hallelujah to the Lord. It's been estimated that 17% of Hong Kong's population are Christians. And anyway, I just wanted to follow up with that story. We'll put that, by the way, and it links to his full sermon on our Facebook page so that you can see it. All right, let me go to another caller. Let's go to Karen. She's been waiting a long time in Kansas. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I think you said it all. I just loved every bit of what you said to the people that were unbelievers. I just think that we all need to do what you just did and get out and just tell people about our faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, there's one thing I might have added is that people think that it's an issue of color, but it is not, because all men's hearts are desperately wicked and they fall short. And that's why we needed Jesus to come to earth to save us from our sins. But thank you, Sandy, for everything you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. And I appreciate that word to emphasize about the color blindness. And she's right. I try to make that point. You know, I just try to make that point. Remember recently I played that testimony, that young black girl who was being persecuted in school, and she was 11 years old, and she's incredibly articulate about the LGBT movement and the gender situation. It was breathtaking. And then this black mom who's praying with her children before school, before she sends them off to public school just a few days ago. It has nothing to do with color. It has everything, as she just said, to do with our hearts. Men are desperately in need of a Savior. And the good news is there is one, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, He is real. He certainly changed my life. All right, tomorrow you want to tune in. It's about social media and their abuse of conservatives. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.